Welcome. It's great to see you. Okay. We're glad to have you in church today. These are our postcards. They say uncluttered. So we're going to be talking about decluttering. Go ahead and move to the next one. So declutter, it is a verb. It means, I'm sorry if this is hard to read, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. So it's okay. Declutter is a verb. That is something that you do physically. So it's something that you have to be involved in. It means to remove mess or clutter from a place. It means to organize and prioritize one's commitments, material possessions, etc. Now, clutter, the word clutter means, it's also a verb. If you use it as a verb, it can be used as a noun or a verb. So the verb is to fill or litter with things in a disorderly manner. The noun is a disorderly heap or assemblage, litter, a state of condition or confusion. Now, a lot of you know, as is becoming more and more obvious, we are having baby number 6. So we are adding another whole person to our house that we already built a room into the garage to house baby number 5, which is a really cool room. It's, you know, it's really, we really love it. And now Judah's going to move out and Eden's going to move in once we have her. But I have been lately, I don't know if some of it's nesting, those of you that are pregnant and know about nesting, or if it's just like me going, I have to get rid of stuff. Because I'm thinking, I have another person with all of her stuff coming into my house. And so it has motivated me to get rid of. Irma last year when our house flooded motivated me and I got rid of stuff I had had for 20 years, like for real. But now I'm thinking I need to get rid of more stuff. So I'm going through my stuff and through Jude's stuff, and I'm asking Rick to go through his stuff, and I am perpetually putting stuff in the basket in my garage, well, in my laundry room, for the Salvation Army, and just to put stuff away. And so I'm learning that a good way to declutter is prevention. Now, don't buy things you don't need. I have all my life loved sales. I learned early on how to love hand-me-downs and yard sales and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so it's very difficult when you see something that is such a good deal. Like, even if you don't need it, you're thinking, right, but I might need it in the future, or someone else might need it, or I could give it as a gift or whatever. Listen, and we're going to get to the word in a minute, but I need to lay this foundation because we're going to connect it with scripture. Prevention is a good way to declutter. If you don't bring it into your house, then you don't have to get rid of it, okay? You don't have to decide that you don't need it. So don't buy things you don't need. But sometimes people, because they're nice, they give you things that you don't need. And then you have to decide what to do with all of this stuff that's been given to you. I am learning. Listen, people give it to me. I am trying to immediately just start evaluating. Do I need this? What am I going to do with this? You know, and then it either, if I need it, I put it away. If I don't need it, then it goes in my Salvation Army pile. If it is trash, it's very simple. You just throw it in the trash, okay? Because spiritually and mentally thinking, people sometimes will give you trash. Like, they will speak trash to you. They will send trash to you. And you have to decide what to do with that. You don't have to hold on to it. So declutter your thoughts is our first one. If you go ahead and flip to the next one. So this is our first point. Declutter your thoughts. Now remember, declutter means to remove mess. Mess is dirty or untidy, confused, or full of difficulties. So in order to declutter your thoughts, you need to throw away trash. So I want, if you're going to, if you want to stand, we're going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to look at a lot of different scriptures today. Cause the Bible is so awesome. It is so full of truth that applies to our lives. And when you learn how to get close to God and let him reveal himself to you through the Bible, you realize that the Bible is not just a history book. It's not just an old book. It is for today. It will tell you how to live your life. And so Romans 8:5, says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let's read that again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, so what you think about, according to the flesh. Now, the flesh refers to the sinful nature. We're all born with a sinful nature. That's why you don't have to teach children how to snatch what they want and whack somebody on the head with it. You know, they know how to do it. You have to tell them, you can't do that. You know, you have to teach them to share because they're naturally selfish. Jude already knows how to say mine. We're having to teach him how to share, you know? So it's one of those things that we are born into. So if we live according to the flesh, our natural sinful nature, and we set our mind on those things. But if we live according to the Spirit of God, that S is capitalized, means according to the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit. Okay, so you can be seated. So if we live according to the Spirit, then that's what we're going to choose to think about. But we have to throw away trash. Sometimes we're guilty of putting trash into our minds and we have to make a choice. Psalm 101:3, I want to read this verse and then I want to show you an illustration. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. It continues, I hate the work of those that fall away, it shall not cling to me. So, if you have put trash in front of your eyes, don't keep staring at it. I want to show you an example here. Now, this is going to represent our brain, or our mind. I just Googled mind and all these pictures came up and this was one of the pictures. And so this container is going to represent our mind and what we put in it. Now this, y'all are going to laugh at me. Okay, this is, I'm not going to take it out. This is a dirty diaper. Okay, now it's actually not a poopy diaper because we don't keep those in our house. Jude has a trash can in his room, and we learned you cannot just put the dirty diapers in with the other diapers because it will stink up his room, which is connected to our room. Like it will stink up the whole environment if you just leave those in the trash can. So I have learned I put them in a bag like this, and sometimes they go in the trash that's going out. Sometimes they go in the, you know, outside trash can. But I didn't just want to use paper when talking about filling your mind with trash because that's really not that bad. Like if I had wadded up a piece of paper and put it into our mind, then you go, oh, well, yeah, we all have some trash in our mind. But if you think about putting a dirty diaper into your mind, like that's gross, you know? So we're going to stuff this in here. No, it's in another bag. So I'm going to stuff this in here. Okay, so, but imagine that this is a poopy diaper, even though it's not, because then it will stink up your thinking. And imagine when you put wicked things in front of your eyes, that goes into your mind. And you are essentially putting dirty diapers into your mind. And it stinks up your thinking. And then you wonder why you struggle with Christianity or just in life in general. Listen, one thing that I keep learning and walking with the Lord is everything that God tells us is for a reason. He doesn't tell us things just because he doesn't want us to have any fun, or he knows that he doesn't want us to be cool, or he doesn't want us to experience things like he told Eve. He knows what is best for us. And if he says, set nothing wicked before our eyes, it's because it's better for us. It really is. And so as Christians, what we have to do is we have to not only not put trash in our mind, but we have to take out the trash that's there. Listen, so how do you do that? We're going to put this trash can up here because, listen, This is a trash can. That's exactly what it is. There's nothing, you know, different about it. It's just a trash can. When you realize that you've been thinking about trash, take it out and throw it in the trash can. Now, how do you do that? It's easy for me to tell you, just don't think about trash. But the truth is, we all know that once it gets in there, it's a whole lot easier to get in than it is to get out. And we can all think all day, and we can think all day, I'm not going to think about anything bad. I'm just going to think about righteous, good, you know, pure things. But there are some steps that we have to do. So I want to show you, I'm going to leave this up here. and I want to show you some things. This is going to represent the word that we put into our mind. Because the word, the Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so what happens is when we read the word and we allow it really to read us, like we don't just go, blah, 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 I did my daily duty. But like I read the word and go, God, what are you saying to me today? What happens is we begin to add light into our mind. And so we begin to allow that truth to begin to fill our minds and our hearts and our lives with light. Now, this is very important because I want us to understand this. Often what will happen as a Christian is you will read the word or you will hear the word spoken, and all of a sudden this light is shown. Light is shown on something that you've done or something that you're doing or a way that you need to change. But with it comes this condemnation attached to it, because the enemy loves to condemn us. He loves to take what God is saying, hey, you should do this way, or you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't have watched that. And the enemy comes in with condemnation and says, why are you even trying? Don't you see that this is how you're always going to be? You're never going to change. Look at all the times that you've done that. Look at who you are. This is who you are. And then what we do is we take the light with the condemnation and we put them both into our mind. But see, the problem is this part is trash. What we need to do is learn to allow God, by the truth of his word, to separate the condemnation from the light that comes. And then we need to put this where it goes, which is in the trash can. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:1, look at Romans 8:1. And if you read the context of this, Romans 7, Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So we know that Paul struggled with sin. He struggled with the flesh. He struggled with doing things that he shouldn't do and not doing things that he should do. He was like, he struggled with the same things that a lot of us struggle with. And so he said that all through Romans chapter 7. But Romans chapter 8 begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2 continues, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, this is where we have to let truth redefine our mind. We have to let God renew our minds. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But if we allow the light to come in and we allow the condemnation to stay with it, what happens a lot of times is we just end up throwing both of them out. We throw the light out because I just can't think about that. Like, I'm just not going to be that person, so I just can't think about what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just easier to just put this aside and, you know, I'll try to be that person later. But what we have to do instead is to recognize what it started with. What it often for me, God will show me, Shannon, you should have done this. And then, like I said, shame and guilt and all these things that I should have done differently. And, you know, I start evaluating myself. What I need to do is separate all that. Remember that the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Recognize who I am in Christ. And then refuse to allow the condemnation that says that I will never become who God has called me to be. And that I can never accomplish the things that he's calling me to accomplish. I need to remove that and throw it in the trash. Romans 12, look in Romans 12, chapter 1, or Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I love this verse, and we've gone over this verse so many times, but there's so much truth in it. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Christian life is all about renewing our minds. As Christians, when we are born again, when we are saved, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, They're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we then have the opportunity to live differently. But we have got to do this verse or we will struggle continually. This verse says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renew, we've talked about this before. It means renovation. When we renovated our house, when we got a new fridge, we wouldn't have had room for it, but we didn't just put the new fridge in front of the old fridge and leave the old fridge that didn't work there. That's crazy. Why would you do that? But a lot of times as Christians, we just try to add some truth. We leave the stinky diaper in our mind, and then we just try to add some truth to it. What we have to do is we need to go out with the old, but then we need to replace it with the new. We need to let God show us who he is. I mean, who he is and who we are. And listen, I understand that it is a hard thing to retrain. It's a hard thing to retrain yourself if you've thought about yourself or situations or for a long time. But everybody can change. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I promise you, most of the Christians in here have a story. Last Sunday night, we heard three testimonies. And Christina gave her testimony. She works with the kids in the kids' church. And she gave her testimony of who she was before Christ and how God has changed her. And listen, so often we just, even if it's not in our entire life, in just particular areas, we will think, this is just who I am. But that is a lie. Because as Christians, we have been remade. But we have to make the choice to renovate our thinking. We have to choose. And a lot of people think that you cannot control what's in your mind. You have a lot of control over what's in your mind. You can choose what to dwell on. You can choose what to put in there. Now, sometimes we have thoughts that come. I believe sometimes the enemy puts a thought in your head. Sometimes I'm thinking, where did that even come from? You know, other times I know where it came from. Like I know that I listened to something or I let myself go somewhere or, you know, as far as in my mind. But we don't have to stay there. Listen, you can declutter your thoughts. You can start today. The things that you know that do not line up with Scripture. And this is why it's so important to read the Bible. I know that sometimes you don't feel as much as you would like to feel when you read the Bible. But if you will read the Bible and say to God, God, I am not just reading this so that I can check a list, so that I can be spiritual, or because Pastor Shannon said I should. I want to get to know you from your word. And as you read the word, what happens is then you begin to put light into your thoughts. And then the Holy Spirit can bring that light back when you're struggling and remind you of truth. And then you have something to fight the lies that the enemy has told you with. And so then we choose and realize, well, I feel like I am a failure and I will never change. But this scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or this scripture says, I feel so condemned and like, why am I even trying? But the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ Jesus. I have made a commitment of my life to the Lord. God, I know that my life might not look exactly like it needs to look yet, but I have made a commitment to you. So this scripture applies to me. And then you begin to let that truth change and renovate your thinking. And so, don't just also, this is really important, and I've heard this from lots of people. Don't just try not to think about the wrong things. Like, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. Or I'm not going to think about this, whatever that I saw or whatever movie that I watched or whatever it is. I'm not going to think about that. Because by thinking like that, you're just placing those thoughts in your head over and over. What you need to do instead is to think about something else. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. One of my children used to get scared at night, and when he would get scared, And, you know, he would just be laying there and I would tell him, well, you just have to, you know, like kind of like what I'm telling you, you can't think about that. And he would say, but I can't not think about it. Like it just, and I would tell him, watch a movie, like watch a VeggieTales. We watched VeggieTales and he had all these VeggieTales movies in his head. And I would tell, just watch a VeggieTales movie in your head. Just play that movie in your head. Why? Because he's replacing those scary thoughts with VeggieTales. Listen, that's the best way to do it, is that you replace it with truth. Think about how much God loves you. Think about what you did, you know, at church today. Think another thing that you can add to your thoughts, that as we finish this illustration, I just want to show you. This is a scented candle. I like smell good things because we all need that. This is like praise. You know, the Bible says praise is like incense to God. And when we praise, we not only use our mouth, but our mind. And when we add praise into our mind, man, that's a wonderful smell and a wonderful thing. And we praise and we sing songs and we clap our hands and we raise our hands because the Bible says to. We don't do it just because we like to sing. We do it because the Bible says, come and bless the Lord. It says, clap your hands, all you people. It says, shout unto God. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. All of these things are biblical. And so when you add that into your mind, it adds something that smells good in your mind, not only to you, but to God. And so declutter our thoughts. Okay, number two, declutter your plans. Organize and prioritize. That's another definition of decluttering, is to organize and prioritize one's commitment or material possessions. Now, often, like Rick said earlier, we clutter up our lives with so many things without stopping to invite God into our decisions about time management. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God or the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God or the children of God. Let's go ahead and move on to Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works or your actions. Works also means actions, to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I've said this before, and I put it on the PowerPoint too, I think. Often we make our plans and then we ask God to bless them after the fact. Like, I make my plan for the week. I make my plan for the day. I, you know, plan everything that I'm buying and my vacation and everything that I'm doing. And then I pray and say, God, would you bless all the plans that I have made? A better way to do it is invite God into the planning process. From the beginning, say to God, God, what do you want me to do here? Like, what car do you want me to buy? What, you know, vacation do you want us? Do you want us to go now? Like, what do you want me to do this week? You know, I mean, there are certain things. All of us have things that we are committed to accomplish. But we all have extra time. All of us. We all have 24 hours in a day. And so I would challenge you, commit your time to the Lord. This says commit your works, your actions to the Lord and your thoughts. So even when you're going to work, commit your day to the Lord and say, God, I just give you this day. Help me to think thoughts that would please you. Help me to live my life and do the things that you would have me to do. And so we can invite him not just into our big plans, because sometimes we make the mistake of not even thinking about inviting God until we get to the big stuff. But if you invite God into the everyday and allow him to lead you, then when you get to the big stuff, you're used to doing it anyway. And it becomes, you know, it becomes part of your lifestyle. And so what's awesome is that as you renovate your thinking, like we talked about earlier, your thinking makes you more aware of his will. We read Romans 12:2. It says, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove means to discern or examine. So if you want to know what the will of God is, then renew your mind with his word. Because as you begin to know him and as you begin to read his word, then he can make his will more clear to you. And he can keep your life balanced. I have been amazed at how God balances me. It's like literally for a couple of months, he's teaching me about walking in abundance and about learning his blessing and knowing how good he is. And then it's like he dials it back and teaches me to be content and to know how to be content with just what I have and not, you know, need to buy a bunch of extra things and learn to, you know. And so he will teach us how to live our time, how to manage our lives if we will invite him into that process. Proverbs 32:8-9. Says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So this last verse is saying, don't be like a horse or a mule that has to be pulled to do what they need to do. We need to come near to God on our own and let him teach us. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. That's why we need to come to him, because otherwise we can have this thought, man, I'm good. Like, I'm doing things for the right reasons. I'm trying to live the right way. But when we come to God, he shows us deeper and what our motives are and what's in our spirit. And God can reveal the truth to us. I want to end this section with Psalm 23:3. I have lived by this verse probably the last 6 months. It says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Many times I'm fearful, like, God, but what if I'm missing you? What if I'm not doing today what you're calling me to? Or, you know, like with the church, what if I'm not doing the right things, or I'm not handling my time the right way, or, you know, with the kids or with everything? And sometimes, honestly, I get overwhelmed just trying to make sure that I'm doing the right things at the right time and keeping up the balls with the right, you know, in the air like I'm supposed to. I live by this verse. It says, you will lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. And so when I feel overwhelmed, I declutter my thoughts by looking back at the word and saying, God, you said that you would lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. That is my desire, to walk in the paths that you want me to walk in. And you said that you would lead me. So I am trusting that you are leading me. And that when I get off course, that you're going to show me. And he does. He is so faithful to do that. So the last one, real quickly, is declutter your possessions. The word declutter, as we discovered at the beginning, means to remove mess or clutter from a place. You know, everybody's different, and they respond differently to different things. But one of the things that I just need to get rid of clutter. Like, I need to put things behind a door. I need to, you know, to just declutter. I need to clean off a shelf, you know. But this says to remove mess or clutter from a place, to organize and prioritize one's commitments, material possessions. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, and this scripture kept coming to my mind for this message. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covet is the last commandment. It is thou shalt not covet, is one of the 10 commandments. If you look it up, covetousness is all over the New Testament. I mean, there is a lot in the scripture about covetousness. It says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Despite what television tells you of all the stuff that you need to be happy, you know, of all the clothes that you need to look cool, of all the, you know, new gadgets that you need to be like everybody else. You know, the world is constantly telling us that we need more stuff. But the truth is, more stuff requires more money, takes more time, and more maintenance. I mean, all of those things. And so it's really wise to declutter your possessions and to let God be involved in your purchases. But Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Covetousness means, I have it written down up here as well, a greedy desire to have more. I read an article and I shared part of it on a Wednesday night, probably a month or two ago. And this guy was talking about how they got started looking for a new vehicle, basically just because of gas, I think. And he talked about the whirlwind of desire that it created and just all the time that it took. Listen, sometimes God wants us to have something new. There's nothing wrong with buying something new when God says it's time. But I will tell you this, even in that process, you have to prioritize because things can begin to consume you, like work and buying and keeping up, all of those things can consume you. And covetousness is greed, number one. But I really liked how Thayer's definition said it, a greedy desire to have more. If we will admit it, all of us struggle with that at some point. A greedy desire to have more shoes. I have more shoes than a lot of people in third world countries already. But, you know, so the truth is I probably don't need any shoes if I'm comparing myself to people in third world countries that have like one pair of shoes or no shoes. But sometimes I want more. I want a new pair of black sandals, or I want a new pair of brown sandals, or, you know, whatever it is. All of those things, God wants to give us good gifts, but we have to keep everything in balance because we can very quickly shift into the desire for things, and the desire for things can take away our focus on the desire for Him. And our desire for Him should be first. And so Jesus said, take heed, which means see with the eyes, see with the mind, discern clearly, and beware, guard, observe something that you need to escape. Guard yourself from covetousness. 1 Timothy 6:6-8, which John quoted this verse in Sunday school this morning. Thank you for that, John. But I had it in my notes. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Collecting stuff, as I said, can take our priorities off of what matters. And removing the focus off of stuff can allow us to focus on what does matter. So I want to close with this verse, because this verse is so powerful. Hebrews 4:12. And I want to just show you, you know, tie all this together. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The beautiful thing about reading scripture, about coming to church and hearing the word preached, is that the word is living and it discerns between the thoughts and the intents of our heart. To the outside, you know, even when I put a dirty diaper in here, to the outside, this could still look pretty, even with nastiness on the inside. But God's word, and he can discern between the thoughts and intents of our heart. He can see all the way through and reveal to us the things in our lives that he wants to change. And God doesn't show us sin just to shame us and leave us there. He shows us sin so that we can realize our need to correct it and come to him and partner with him and allow him to do the work to forgive us and to change us and to renew our minds and our thinking. But we need to allow the word to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's why the enemy fights to get us not to read the word, not to be in church, not to spend time in praise and worship, not to spend time thinking about truth. Because he loves to get us distracted from what really can change our lives. And so I just want to challenge you as this song plays. It says, I belong to you. And I love this song. I've played it before, but I love this song because it reminds us who we are. Often we forget how to live because we forget who we are. the scripture has so much good things, so many good things to say about us. But we need to let his truth renovate our thinking so that we can pull out the wrong thoughts. And I just challenge you today, if you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for wisdom or healing, if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, or you know that you need to re-surrender to him, we would be glad to pray with you.